So here's a story for you. Little Johnny's mother looked out the window and noticed that he was playing church with the family cat. He had the cat sitting quietly, he was preaching to it. Then he was praying with it. And she kind of smiled and went about her work. Well, a little while later, she heard a loud meow and a hissing sound, and she ran back out and she looked out the window to see that Johnny was baptizing the cat in a tub of water. So she called out, "Johnny, stop that. That cat's afraid of water." And Johnny looked up at her really quickly, and he said to her, "Well, Mom, he should have thought about that before he joined my church." I don't know why I like that story, but it's a good. The innocence of children who grow up so fast, and they get baptized, and soon they will move into our youth age group. Today is a special day in the life of Woodmont because today we are celebrating the baptisms of our disciples class. These young people have spent the last 2 months meeting with Abby, meeting with the ministers, meeting with their mentors, talking to their parents about what it means to make a confession of faith, what it means to be baptized into the church, to join the church, to take communion. And so today we celebrate this occasion with their families, with their friends, their grandparents. And I certainly think that all the parents here today would agree that time goes by very fast, faster than we think. Baptism is a holy sacrament. Through baptism, we seek to be faithful to the great commission of Christ, who said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Baptism is the beginning of the Christian journey. It does not mean that we have arrived. It means that we have made the commitment to give our lives to Christ, to follow his teachings, to be faithful to his commandments, and to live a life of discipleship. Baptism by immersion is the way that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. But it's not the only form of baptism. We recognize other forms of baptism in this church. In fact, some of these young people might have been baptized as infants, and that's okay, because there are two steps in every faith tradition. And I always tell families, don't make a huge deal of whether water is used as an infant or at the age of confirmation or understanding. It's the same theology. But what immersion symbolizes is dying to an old way of life and being born into a new way of life. It also symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and being born into new life that we celebrated last week on Easter. Now, what I want to do briefly this morning is I just want to share some basic words of advice, some thoughts about Christianity with our young people and with their families. I want them to think about the importance of today and to think about all that their faith journey has in store. So here are a few thoughts for you this morning. First of all, being a Christian is first and foremost about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship should transcend churches, structure, politics, and all the other stuff that organized religion can sometimes bring with it. You see, many Christians are guilty of getting so caught up in theology and creeds and doctrine and fighting over social issues, they often neglect the most important thing, which is knowing Jesus Christ and letting him change your life, to change the way that you think and act. To really understand what it means to be a Christian, you first have to understand what Christ was all about. What did he teach? How did he treat others? What did he spend his time doing? What was most important to him? What does it mean to love God and love your neighbor? There's a big difference between what I call cultural Christianity and true discipleship. Let me say a word about that. Cultural Christians are often checking something off a list. True disciples are listening closely to the words and teachings of Jesus and what he commands us to do. Cultural Christians show up every now and then. We saw some of them here last Sunday, right? True disciples are intentional about worship, Bible study, prayer, and small groups. Cultural Christians will give whatever's convenient, but true disciples will give sacrificially their time, their money. True discipleship is a lifelong process of learning and growing. And once you know what Jesus is asking of you, then you know that it's both demanding and life-changing. Secondly, being a Christian is all about learning how to love. Loving others even when it's hard. One time, I was talking to a longtime member of our church. Her name was Elizabeth Region, and it was right before baptism time, and it was right during baptism week in the spring. And she was on her deathbed, and I said, "Elizabeth, is there anything that you want me to tell these young people this week?" And she looked at me. She was battling a brain tumor, and she looked at me, and she said, "Clay, just tell them to love each other. If they can figure out how to love each other, then everything else will fall into place." Paul writes to the Romans, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Love is not always easy. Love is not always convenient. Love is a choice that we make. And remember, the greatest commandment is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus says on these two things, hang all the law and the prophets. Now in 1 John 4, it says we should love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And the love that I am talking about must be evident in the way that we treat and interact and speak to each other, both the strangers and the people that we care about the most. If you had to sum up the Christian faith in one word, that word is love. Christ came to teach us how to love, but love is not simple and it's not always easy. Third, being a Christian requires ongoing commitment and sacrifice. One of the fears that I've had for a while about 21st century Christianity in America is that it becomes a religion of convenience and not of conviction. It becomes a religion that affluent people squeeze into their schedules whenever time opens up, but it will frequently take a backseat to many other things. That's what I fear because that's what I've seen. Sunday is no longer a Sabbath for many people, just another day. Spiritual disciplines matter. I want these young people to know that spiritual disciplines will make a difference in your life. Reading the Bible, praying on a regular basis, going to church, forgiving others, serving others. You have to do these things intentionally, and we do them in community. The baptisms happened this morning in community. The class this spring that they went through happened in community. Their faith will continue to grow and change and expand, but that will happen in community. Today, we kick off our stewardship campaign. We do that every April. It's how we support the mission of the church so we can do all the ministries that we do. And so as our church has grown, so has our budget, so have our expenses, so have our staff. But we have to make sure that we understand that when we are Christians, we're called to give sacrificially. Give our time, give our energy, give our resources, make a difference in the lives of other people. You know, we now live in a culture where people are busy all the time. Now, whether we're actually accomplishing more is debatable, right? Technology has made us available at any given moment, these little things. And I'm convinced that sometimes the pace of our lives can crowd out spiritual growth. And if we don't take the time to be still, to slow down, and to connect with God, then we will become accustomed to the fast pace of life. But faith requires commitment and reflection. Spiritual growth requires commitment and reflection. Fourth, being a Christian calls us into community and connection with people that are not like us and that are less fortunate than us. Our culture has become very lonely, very tribal, very polarized. There's a multi-billion dollar industry that we call cable news that likes to keep it this way. Christians are called to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Loneliness has become an epidemic in our culture. There are many people who don't have any social connections. They don't have any friends. And the research shows that this is a problem. Depression's on the rise. Opioid addiction is killing people. Suicide levels are much higher. Go and read Jonathan Haidt's new book that just came out called The Anxious Generation and learn about the generation that these young people are growing up as a part of. All of this points back to loneliness and meaninglessness and how we need each other and we need community. Paul writes in Galatians, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Now, naturally, we're drawn to people that are just like us, right? There's comfort in that. So we have to work against that, and we have to understand the importance of being around people who are different. It takes intentionality. It takes getting out of our comfort zones, but it's a part of being a Christian. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you gave me clothing. Sick and in prison and you took care of me. Some of you might remember that Lula's mother, Tolu Schuyler Quinn, who we lost a few years ago, started the National Food Project right here at this church to do exactly that. And now it's grown into an independent nonprofit that's in the nations that's living this out. How do we follow the teachings of Matthew 25 and take it seriously? Lastly today, being a Christian is about living out the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And then Jesus said, remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Remember that promise. If your faith is strong and if it changes your life, then you will want to go and share it with other people and not just keep it to yourself. You'll want to go share your church with other people. St. Francis famously said, preach the gospel all the time, but use words only if it's necessary. Live it out. Go introduce other people to Christ, not just by what you say, but by what you do, by how you act. Let your Christian love be evident in how you live. Let it be evident by the way you treat people. Let it be evident by the way you talk to people. Be compassionate, be empathetic, be understanding, but share your faith with others. To our young people this morning, we're proud of you guys. Wasn't too cold in there, was it? Told you, we got a little heater up there. It's not bad, but we're proud of you because of what you've learned, because of what you've been doing together, and we're so excited to watch you continue to grow and learn and develop in your faith as you look to the years ahead. So congratulations to the disciples class. We're proud of you. We're happy for you. To the parents, thank you for all that you've done. To the mentors, thank you for all that you've done. You are in for a wonderful lifelong journey. And remember, today is just the beginning. Amen.